Good afternoon, good evening, good metal. My name's Coop and welcome to the Spoken Metal Show. As you may have guessed from the intro music there, this is a slightly different episode. This is a Tail Gunner special. One of the bands I've talked about quite a lot. We had Tom on the show. It was nice to kind of get the guys around and have a bit more of a special conversation with them. Where one of the things I wanted to do was something maybe they hadn't done before, was get every single member of the band on the show and preview the upcoming album, which comes out this week, debut album, out on July 14th, Guns for Hire. I've talked about Tail Gunner a lot, mainly for the fact that they're an amazing band with quality tunes, which is, I don't want to kind of bury the lead, they are an amazing band with great tunes, but they're also really kind of thought about what they want to do, how they want to present themselves, and really put the work in, professionalism sky high, and really looking at how they presented the music and what they want to be and what they want to represent and how they want to look. And the debut album really represents kind of everything kind of coalescing and coming together. And then they're going out on tour. The tour starts in October the 17th, running all the way through October, with the 20th being in Liverpool, which is really going to be an amazing show. And I had the real privilege to listen to the album before it comes out. And we've heard some of the tracks on it before. We've heard Crash Dive and Guns for Hire, but there's a lot of other tracks which we talk about on the show that you haven't heard yet, and that's where you're really going to see what they can do. You've had a bit of an introduction with some of the songs they've released as singles, but you're really going to see how good this band can get. And I think I said this before, I said this to Tom, I say it on the show, that you know, they're very, very soon they're going to be supporting very, very big artists, and they're going to break through fairly quickly. And it's all power to them. They're putting the work. This isn't the, you know, we talk about this on the show, and so I don't want to ruin too much of it, but we talk about how people are going to be falling over to call themselves the next big thing and breakthrough artist. But they've been, you know, overnight sensation, but they've been doing this for a while with various other projects, and this represents them all, everything they've learned, everything they know, everything they love coming together. It's a great album. It's a great album. I'm going to intersperse the interview that we have now with sections of the album so you can hear it for yourself. Out on July 14th, this week, the debut album, Guns for Hire, Tail Gunner. So this is a special, what a nice way to do that. It's always good to talk to every member in the band, because some members of the band don't like to talk as much, and some do, and some have entirely different viewpoints. So I asked them, you know, the questions that I think you'd want to hear and what we want to think about the album. Well, you know, what are the best songs, what the songs that they prefer, what standout moments that they prefer, and that type of thing. But also the songs and the stand-up moments that they don't play, what they have. And it was really obvious very, very quickly, and you'll hear this in the recordings, how much they just enjoyed making this album and enjoyed playing the songs with each other. And everybody's on fire. Everybody's on fire on this record. Everybody's really, really playing to the nth degree. So we get all four members. I split them into two sets of two. And I think I'm going to get other members on, because we could have talked for ages, because we very quickly can get off topic. You know, I think I'll probably have Sammy on again, which would be great. But for now, I really just wanted you to enjoy the chat I had with them. Something a little bit different, where we talked to all of the band, which I don't think they've done on any other shows or any other things. And it was great to just sit down with Tail Gunner ahead of their release of the debut album, Guns for Hire.
Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, I was embarrassed at the beginning, because the two gentlemen I'm interviewing now all have got the correct merch attire on, and I have not. I have sorely failed already, ladies and gentlemen. I'm joined by the fantastic Craig and Zach from Tail Gunner. How are we doing, guys?
Hello, doing good.
Hey, Mark. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. We just come back from Call of the Wild last weekend, so yeah.
I was going to say, how was that? It looked fucking brilliant.
Yeah, it was so good. The crowd that, there was like, yeah, amazing.
Yeah, we're going to get into the album most definitely, but you are very much a crowd and live orientated band. It's so obvious, you know. You even listen to the album, you can see that's good, but wait until you hear that live. Like every time I've seen you guys or even seen videos of you guys, it's very much a live show. Everything's kind of geared around, like, so it seems.
Yeah, I think, and yeah, it's really fun. You get feed off the crowd, and you see some bands that are, well, they will just stand there and play. But like when you really get it up in people's faces and you see their reaction, and it kind of motivates you to be sort of like give it your all as well. So yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, I think the one, ladies and gentlemen, I've talked about Tail Gunner before about as an exhibition of how to do this thing. I mean, what a story, guys! You start in January 2022, you know, you're touring in the first 6 months, you know what I mean? And some of these headline shows, what a story, you know what I mean? That must be, I mean, I know you've already been in other bands and stuff, but that's still pretty quick, isn't it? It's pretty like good, and it's probably testament to how seriously you're taking the whole, every aspect of this, like really professional, really seriously, and real all in with everything from the, you know, everything with the music to the live show to the merch to how you present yourself online. You know, it's a real testament, as I've talked about, to younger bands to watch what you guys are doing. Was that conscious from the very beginning to kind of go, look, if we're going to do this, let's do this right?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. Because we were saying, you know, we don't want to like, we want to do the promotion side of things right. We don't want to be playing in front of like four people at a pub. And it's about when we're practicing and that, we go, you know, we don't just want to play songs in front of people. We need to do a live show and put on a show for people to enjoy as well.
A bit of choreography.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's weird. It's allowed. It's okay.
Yeah. It's good fun. Like I think it is. Although on the face of it, we've released from the January 2022, a couple years before we even released or came out, was spent preparing for the release, and that's I think really what's helped the most. We went out, wrote. Got pretty much full album ready. Did recording in a Victorian chapel in Bournemouth, and I think in a way like it was COVID around that time, and that was in some ways a bit of a blessing for the band because we would have hated to have been in a band that had just released at the start of COVID, because that would have stopped all that momentum. But it gave us some time to sit down and really like make sure, plan out the release as thoroughly as possible and come out like hit the ground running.
Yeah. I remember we planned out a full year of just doing stuff that wasn't even... It was, pretty mental. Like, no one's going to hear about this, like, until a year. But we've got to do it. We're doing it now.
It sounds crazy, doesn't it? But it actually, like, once you know you've got, like, a longer-term plan, you can really lean into what you're doing then, you know, because it's like, you know, you don't get disheartened over, you know, posts don't go so well or something doesn't go so well. The longer game is tried and true. You know, you had this album launch in your mind, this is what you're shooting for, and I assume beyond as well, you know, and you're going to be everybody's favourite overnight success, by the way, gentlemen, so everybody's going to fall over and to say, look at Tail Gunner, from out of nowhere they've came and look at, but we all know the reality is that, you know, every overnight success is years in the making of you guys playing in bands and working it and figuring out your craft and figuring out where you get to, and people only see kind of maybe the end part now when you see this album come out, and they're like, oh yeah, this is an overnight success, and it just isn't the case. I mean, I remember seeing Craig a while back with the previous band, Midnight Prophecy, and it was the best review I think I've ever seen by a member of the public. So I'm at the bar talking to some guy, and you're playing, and he's chatting to me, and I'm trying to watch the band, but obviously, and he's talking back and forth, and I'm like, yeah, mate. And you start, the second song in, you start this really high-end scream, and the guy just turns around, looks at the stage, goes, fucking hell. And then just turns back to me and continues his story. And I was like, that's good. That's an endorsement there. So this album now, this Guns for Hire, this is both, is this fair to say, is it both an end and a beginning? It's the end of that sort of, let's launch the band and get this debut album right. But the beginning now of a whole raft of shows and a whole raft of touring that's going to come.
Well, I guess so. Now we can play the full album live as well. So that's a live change that's going to be. And yeah, as far as that, it'll be whatever's next, the next album.
Just keep going.
Yeah. We have it's just building on that momentum, I think. And we've the album is released on July the 14th. Mm-hmm. We currently have pre-order available now on through Fireflash and Atomic Fire. But after the album's released, I think we have in October a Guns for Hire UK tour, and we've also got some German shows for the sort of Guns for Hire Germany tour.
Festival, which is going to welcome you with open arms, gents.
So there's lots of plans there, and I think it's just building on that. I think building on, like, our music has developed since the very first album as well. So keep people on their toes.
Yeah, that's. I really think when you start playing over in Europe, they're really going to welcome you. It's a great sound, and that's the thing. Like, ladies and gentlemen, I've been very privileged to hear the album a little earlier, and we'd have heard some of the other stuff, Crash Dive and stuff like that. We've heard some of that, but there is some cuts on this album now that are, I can't believe you almost held these back from people here, because they're fucking great. We'll get to them in a moment. What's it like then? So you get signed to Fireflash in October. That's great as well, right? Because then that kind of gives you this sort of distribution. And it gives you a bit of a solid foundation from which to kind of start your campaign, if you will.
I mean, yeah, like the leader of it, Marcus Wozgian, is an absolute legend in like the music.
In the business, yeah, most definitely, yeah.
And he's worked with everyone, like Sabaton, Nightwish.
Worked for Nuclear Blast for quite some time. Yeah, a great name in the business, yeah. What's it like when someone like that turns around and tells you that, you know, your music's great? It's all good me saying it. I'm a humble podcaster, but when it's someone like Marcus, whose word counts, he must say, like, this is great, guys.
Yeah, I guess that's, like, just confirmation that the hard work has paid off.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, listening to this album, the quality of the recording is so good, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't say that too lightly, because it's so hard to get a great recording. Something's louder, something's quieter, something's not balanced. There's so many factors, it's so hard to get it right. This album's so well recorded that there really isn't any missteps. It's so well, and I know how hard that is to get done in the studio. And I suppose it raises the question of, you know, this is produced by Olaf Wikström from Enforcer. What's that like then, working with him?
It's amazing to work with such a legend.
Is he like fucking, this has to be fucking
no, basically I think it was a lot of it had to be meticulous preparation of tracks and in a specific order, and it was really good working with him. We were able to like get a good dialogue going where we were able to sort of give him our sort of influences, how we wanted it to sound, and he was able to then mold the record around that. We were coming back and forth, lots of notes that were taken, and like we did a little changes here and there, but it sounds great.
What did you say to him then? What were the influences? What were the ideas that you were like, this is what we're shooting for?
I think a big one at the time when we first, because was King Diamond's Abigail album.
Yeah, absolutely. You can hear. It's nice. I like it when a band takes their influences, uses them, and just puts them on the sleeve, but then goes and does their own thing. And I could hear, there was obviously there's King Diamond, there's Judas Priest in there, there's a whole bunch of other stuff. But then, you know, you get to like Blood for Blood, and that's you guys. There's bits and stuff in that, but that's you coming out there, you know, and Futures Lost as well. If that surprised me, that's a great track, that is, by the way. They're playing on that, Zach, just, you know, it's fucking fabulous, by the way. I knew it was good, because after I listened to it, I went to play on the guitar to figure something out. I'm having that. I'm taking that bit. I better learn that. It's, you know, so when you can you listen to the album objectively now, or are you still kind of in, I've heard it so much now, I need to have a bit of space before I can listen to it again?
I think I can now. Because listening to it like a few months ago, we were going, that guitar needs coming down, coming up a bit, or the vocals are too loud, or the backing vocals. I actually listened to it a few weeks ago and thinking, yeah, there's some that's things that aren't perfect, but
yeah,
never going to be perfect. And that's where some of the charm is in it as well.
I think. Did you try out some of the songs live before you recorded them? Did you give any of them a kind of an airing just to see kind of how they worked or how the crowd took them on, or were they all kind of straight up into the studio?
Yeah, we recorded the songs before we did any live gigs.
Right.
But we did some writing sessions together where we had the songs and we had the demos. And then like we trimmed some bits off that didn't work, added some bits. Like with Rev Scream, we added an extra chorus because that wasn't the pre-chorus, was originally the chorus for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. And one of our, you can actually, we captured that moment when we got the Rev Scream chorus, the sort of the where we, it's in one of our documentary videos on YouTube. But yeah, I'm sure it's one of the first ones where you see Craig like brainstorming some ideas. It's quite a cool moment. I think the album, as Craig said, like when we were like being obsessive over it, like as in we wanted to feedback to Olaf, like get the mixing and mastering right. It did become very much like you're very focused on it. It's a bit hard to step back and listen to. But now that we've been starting to like the rehearsals and playing the songs, I can't wait to play them live. It's so fun just to get my guitar out. And I'm sat here just playing through the whole album and thinking, oh, for the crowd to hear this song, I just can't wait.
That's how you know you can kind of walk away from a song then or an album. You go, okay, look, I just want to play this live now. Now you know you've done that part of it, right? And what the amazing thing, and I'm sure this will happen, and Rev Scream will be a good example of this. I think you're gonna have to prepare yourself for the crowd reaction to that, and you'll be like, actually, this like middle eight, we might extend a bit live because people like this, and then people will be singing back to this. There's a lot of hooks on this album, ladies and gentlemen. There's riffs that kill for fucking days on this album. Like he's poured, ladies and gentlemen, I can say Zach's poured all of the riffs into this album. There's none left, they're all in this album. but in terms of vocally, there's some. I mean, you guys were. Craig had the absolute cheek to cover fucking Painkiller live. I was like, I'm in love. This is amazing. It's that wanting to play it live. And that's exactly the stage you should be at, you know, because now people are going to absorb this album and they're going to sing it back to you. You watch. Remember I said this. When you go to Germany, remember I said this. And keep your eye out, Zach. When you've got your foot on the monitor, look out. And I'm telling you now that people will be singing back. Probably Revolution Scream will probably be that song. So, the other thing I want to talk about, because I've seen this come up a lot when we're talking about Taylor, but I haven't said it myself, but I can understand why people think it, but it's maybe not the case, is that you've been, some people throw you in with the new wave of British heavy metal, that previous movement, and obviously there's a newer movement with that now. And I've seen a couple of posts where you're like, you know, we're not necessarily that, and we're more kind of this, and we're more kind of, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, as far as I know it, and we know it, new wave of British heavy metal is like a time period, like in the 80s. But I'd happily put us in the new wave of traditional heavy metal. I think we fit into that.
Yeah, I think I agree we fit into that sort of genre, if you call it. But yeah. I quite like the idea of trying to transcend it a bit. I don't know what the correct word is, but just as in not like pigeonhole yourself. And you'll probably see, like, we've already got some ideas at album two like floating about that we broaden our sort of musical spectrum. I think what's nice is the, for example, Call of the Wild, going into Call of the Wild with the sort of the music we play, it really helps sort of like make us stand out. And we definitely saw the results. I think we woke some people up from their hangovers, sort of doing
You did the really cool thing though of having, and I've never seen this before from a new band or an unsigned independent band moving to a signed band. It's normally just an established act that have got this right. Is you did a t-shirt just for that show. You know, and just was it called a wild or what was it?
Yeah,
it was
Wildfire.
Just for that show, which I thought was a fucking amazing thing because it really kind of it's good for you. It's you've shown that how much committed you are to that festival and how you believe in it, but also that festival is as important that it deserves that and treating it that way. I have nothing but mad respect for that because we're used to seeing the likes of Metallica do things where it's like one date is on a t-shirt or whatever it may be. But to do it at the level you're at that beginning entry level, I thought was a really, really professional and mature move. And I thought that, certainly the way you've handled the pre-orders, which, ladies and gentlemen, I'll put as a links on the show, the pre-order campaign and the actual presentation of the music, I think it's just been second to none, guys. I think you've really done a good job. A lot of bands will look at that and go, oh, shit, we need to do better. And that's the honest take on it.
I think it is a really cool T-shirt. And Wildfire has always been good to us. Last year, we played Wildfire Festival and they gave us a chance. And it was the first festival we played and we got an awesome response and they wanted us back to headline this year. So we wanted to make a t-shirt for them. And think it's cool. I've had friends message me saying, can you put some aside? I was like, only if you're going to the festival.
That's the point of it. Yeah. I love that though, but that's the reason you've been asked back for a headline, gents, is obviously the band's great, but the professionality and what you put out there, that carries weight. People remember that when they're booking headliners and festival slots. They remember the bands that are good to work with to help them, to help promote their festival or whatever. That gets remembered, trust me. And that's how bands like yourselves will work up the bill. I said this to Tom on the last time we had him on the show. I was like, you will be supporting someone particularly massive inside probably this year. Maybe the beginning of next year it will be announced. I'm telling you now that will happen because aside from the fact that the music is great, which it is, the professionality and the way you put yourselves forward, as I keep saying, is absolutely superb. Honesty time. Favorite tracks on the album? Let's go. What do you like and why?
I think mine, I've said this a few times, I think my favorite one is New Horizons. Just to listen to. I think it's got a great chorus on it and it's really nice to sing live as well. So that's
you really open up on that song. That's a great song. Another one of those hidden gems almost that we don't know about yet. Well, listen, the listeners maybe right now don't know. I do. Yeah. These guys do. We all do. But you've got to discover this for yourself when you get the album.
So my one is the epic at the end is Rebirth, and there's I mean, I play it to this day and I shiver still. And I think the moment that gets me is there's a bit where a melodic guitar line comes in before the harmony set at and Craig hits this note which seems to last forever and my guitar just swoops in and I just imagine myself playing that live and I get goosebumps. I'm getting goosebumps now talking about
yes. I think it's about 4:03 in or something like that it is. And it's I know exactly the point it feels like everybody getting on exactly on the same page on that note and that one, but this that move there, you're like they've clicked. And it's a nice way to end the album as well, because you're like, right, now we need another album. And this is the problem you're gonna face, gents, is that you're gonna release this and people are gonna go, when's the next album? It's a good problem to have. So we've got a couple of shows coming up, and there's certainly gonna get more, is gonna be announced. Can I ask if there's going to be where we are with new material? Is that too far away?
Every musician works on bits here and there
all the time. Yeah,
yeah.
I think there are some. Sorry, Craig. Go on.
I was just there's bits here and there, but we're nowhere near a full album yet.
Yeah, so I think it's in that sort of stage at the moment where there are maybe like outlines of 7 or 8 tracks, but it's not like anything which has been like overly examined or criticized.
Yeah,
not
just
criticized,
put it to a
or like
file ready
a
to
critical
go.
Eye. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I think once we've got a fair selection, we'll then whittle down to our favourites and then be like overly critical and sort of try and like change it around and sort of make it as refined as possible before recording.
Yeah. Well, that's what's going to happen. You're going to have that wonderful problem of people going, I really like your album. I want to hear some more. And you're like, there isn't any more yet. It's like, you're going to get that. And that's a nice place to be. So if I'm going to ask all the band, ladies and gentlemen, this will be in several parts, this where I'm talking to all of Tail Gunner. And I just want to ask each member what they thought the best part of the album is that didn't involve them, or the best piece of playing in a song that isn't theirs. So Zach, you can't have any guitar lines. So we'll go with you first, and then we'll go to you, Craig. You can't choose any vocals. So okay. Best moment in the album for you then, Zach?
I can't choose any guitar lines. Okay, so also what I'll do is I'll refrain from that note I was speaking to earlier, because I know that's like duplication, but I love that I think I'll just have to go with that note in Rebirth.
It is a particularly special moment. Almost buried the lead with you there. It is particularly special, like for a number of reasons. What about you, Craig? Then best moment on the album that isn't vocals?
Yeah, I think for me it's the instrumental section in Crash Dive, because it's just like you feel like you're on a submarine, and it's just, you know.
It was only when I listened back to that song, like, properly, I'd heard it a few times, and it run around, and then I listened to the album and kept it on repeat, that it was about submarines. I don't know, ask me why I missed that, but I was like, oh, shit, it's submarines. I didn't get it.
It's a manoeuvre when...
I was like, of course it is, because I'm like, being a guitar player, I'm just listening to, no offence, great, but I'm just listening to guitar players most of the time. And do you know what? I've just realised why I enjoy the album, and why, ladies and gentlemen, you will enjoy the album as well, is that I stopped listening to the guitar and listening to the songs, you know, because that's what this album is, gents. It's a collection of great songs. It's, you know, it's really nice to talk to you guys. I'm going to be talking to a whole bunch of Tail Gunner coming up, ladies and gentlemen. The album, Guns for Hire, July 14th, you can pre-order that as well. I'll put links on the channels to do that. And I've talked about this before, gents. I'll be one of those people that will be like, I was talking to them first before you go off to the stratosphere and become this wonderful thing that you will become. Like, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure to talk to Craig and Zach from Tail Gunner. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we had the pleasure of Craig and Zach on the last section, and because I wanted to interview all of Tail Gunner, we want to speak to every member of the process of this new album. It's time to welcome Tom and Sam to the show. Like, how are we doing, guys?
Hey, dude, what's up?
Fantastic.
Well, I've had Tom on before. We talked about a little bit. We put a little bit of blood in the water for this album. We talked a little bit about it, but I really want to kind of deep dive on a few things now. Guys, you must be absolutely fucking chomping at the bit to get this album out so people can hear it. You must be like, absolutely, you need to hear this album.
Oh, fucking right. I've had to keep our fucking trap shut for a while with this one, like, you know.
But this, like, so I got sent a copy, and I was listening to it, and some of the songs some people would have heard, things like Crash Dive, people would have heard. But there's a whole bunch of songs on this now that no one's ever heard, right? You haven't played these live yet, and no one's heard these other songs. Is that right?
We've played everything except the last song live.
Okay.
So, everything's been in our show since, like, day one, except the closing track.
That's the track I'm talking about, because that was the one I was like... that's the one I was talking to... To Zach about, where later on we'll talk about best moments of the albums, a part of the album that you enjoyed the most yourselves, but that came up because it was such a, this album, like, it has its own feel, and it's kind of similar to the stuff you've been putting out, but there's a couple of nice moves to where the next album and where you're going as artists are. But I just want to start at the beginning then. So you go in to record this album. What's that like with Olaf from Enforcer? Oh, what's that like?
We didn't record that album with Olaf, so we produced the album ourselves.
And right. Then
we just sent it off to Olaf, and he worked from Sweden.
Right.
But like, I think other than myself, I don't think the rest of the guys have met Olaf.
Wow.
So you really did
everything from notes? Was it like back and forth from notes then, yeah?
Exactly.
Pretty much, yeah.
It took a long time to get the first mix done.
I don't know what's scarier, because I'm old school. I always think of going into the studio, when reality modern day is going into the studio is going into a room separately and you're all getting together.
Well,
but that must be, I don't know what's more nerve-wracking, going into a room with that person like that who's well respected within the business, or just going back and forth through emails, because you don't like, you can't be, there can be no comedy, can there? Can
well,
be like,
to be honest with you, I mean, to be honest, it's a good thing you just like the music, really, I suppose,
yeah.
You know? Because you know, we sent it to him, he liked it. It was just like, you know, can you mix this for us and stuff? And you know, he was very, very easy to work with, to be fair. It was just a bit of back and forth, just corrected some things that we didn't like and stuff. And he was very willing, you know, I mean, very easy to work with. And he just got stuff done for us, anything that we wanted tweaking or anything like that. He was a great, great guy to work with in that respect.
You say that it's like no comedy, but one of the things, actually, I think it's probably one of the most Spinal Tap moments we've ever had, is on the notes for Guns for Hire, originally at the end of the track, there was me shouting fucker, just because like we were doing vocals, and I got like a notification pop up on my phone, and it made a noise on the mic, and I went, oh, fuck off! And we left it on the track for ages, and Olaf mixed everything, sent it back to us, and then it still had this fuck off on the end. So we had to send the notes. It was like, please, could you remove the fuck off? And it's like Olaf's notes for Guns for Hire, like April 2021.
I'll tell you something. I have never heard such a most well-produced fuck off sentence in my life.
He's done a good job with it, you know.
Extra reverb, but a fucking delay.
This album, it sounds like it, and this sounds almost like something it's so obvious to say, but it sounds professionally done. Like, I mean, it sounds real, like top tier quality. Like sometimes you can hear records, especially the first record or the first time a band goes into a studio, because sometimes you can go, okay, well that maybe needs work on, and this needs work on. This, ladies and gentlemen, when you hear this record, you will hear this as well. This sounds fucking complete. Like everything's. I can't give you any notes on this, and I don't imagine many people will give you notes on about how this was recorded. This is the best recording you're going to get of those songs. The end.
Oh, thanks, man. Well, hey, it's Tom. True. Tom, should we you know, for this this well professionally recorded album that he's on about, should we tell him about the vocal booth?
Oh yeah.
What did Craig tell me?
So basically, like the way that we recorded this album, like, you know, we went and moved into like an old fucking Victorian chapel to do it. Everyone that asks about this in the interviews is like, oh, that must have been so cool, it's so metal. No, we did it because we had no fucking money. We made the album before we had a record deal, so the only way we could make an album was to move into like this place that was on Airbnb. And obviously it's a big open plan chapel, and we go, how the fuck are we going to record the vocals? I know. So we pull all the fucking covers off the beds and all the like the quilts and like throws and everything, and then we used mic stands and like tent everything. And you
I
know,
swear
like,
it was like I swear like
killed us like a kid, like that was what Craig recorded inside, was a fucking pillow fort. So there's your professional album.
No, literally, I swear like one side was like a mattress still up, the other was like a mirror, like a big tall mirror. Then we used a scrim, like an old scrim stand that was like up here. And we put that, and I think we pegged the other side or something like that. It was just like, Jesus Christ.
All that fucking, all that work, and I've just fucking told you, ladies and gentlemen, how professional it sounds, and shattered illusion now, because all you're going to be thinking is of this fucking dirty mattress that fucking Craig's leaning against as he's trying to get these vocals done, like.
It meant that he got the vocals done very quick, though, because this thing was quite temperamental, and every time you went in and out of it, there was a risk of it falling over. So once he was like, right, you fucking go and get three songs done, or you're not coming out until they're done.
I love it. That's where the best stuff's recorded. That's how the best stuff is recorded. You know, we often think, when we hear records, we often think it was made in this lovely studio. And it's probably not the case even for some of the most famous records that we know and love. We're probably just made just fucking... It just get the job done. And that's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, that you're going to find when you hear this record, is that this is a band that know what they want, understood what they are and the music they produce, and are able to get to that and get it out as whatever it takes to get it out there. Because let's face it, you know, 2 years ago, this essentially didn't exist, really. You know, this was like kind of a, you know... You've had a very quick journey to where you are now, an album, well-produced, quality album with great live stage show already in place, you know, great sort of logos and front end and the things that you're doing. This has moved very quick. Has it seemed quick, like, or have you seen like, you know, it took a long time to get this one? Because it feels like it's almost overnight.
It is mental, to be fair. I mean, from my, like I speak to a few of my friends about this, to be fair, I was just like, fucking hell, you know, don't get me wrong, I knew we were going to do well, man, but, like, how fast everything's, like, kind of came about, I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, this is a bit mental, this. And don't get me wrong, I ain't moaning, but it's fucking crazy, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like, in some ways, we're kind of getting a bit, like, a fucking fast track into some things, because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've been through many bands before, like, and, you know, it took us years to get to this point, so the fact that this is, like, you know, at this point already, it's just like, Jesus Christ, okay, well, they fucking like our shit, clearly, you know, that's great.
Well, it's so. Like, everybody's going to be, once the album comes out, and remember I said this, gents, and you remember I said this, and it'll be on record of this podcast, that everybody will be falling over themselves to say that they found you, or you're the new band that they're into that no one knows about. And they'll also be falling over you to tell you that you're an overnight success, when we already know in reality, gents, is that you've been in other bands and done the work and you figured out what you like and what you don't like and what works and how to act and how to be in a band. And you've just employed all those things you've learned. And that's when we get Tail Gunner, when we get this finished thing of experience kind of meeting the inspiration, meeting the desire that you have, and it meets all in one place. Like Sam, listen, I remember having a conversation with you maybe a year or so ago, and I was like, mate, you will be supporting major huge bands, and you fucking are. You are already. You're playing festivals now. You've got a festival in Germany coming up. You know, these don't happen by chance. And what you'll have seen, gents, is that you're going to be a very nice victim of the internet doing what it should do, where if something's fucking good, it gets pushed through quickly. You know, we've seen it with bands that very quickly kind of go on fire, and you're going to be one of them, and it's going to be nice. I mean, the only downside, gents, is that we're going to have to start talking about when the next album's coming out.
Well, it is crazy.
We talked like, to the last guys. We talked to Zach and Craig, and I said to them, what was your own personal favourite moments on the record that you did? So it's worth, like, they come up with some really interesting answers, to be fair. So we'll go with that, Sam or Tom, whichever wants to go first. Your favourite moment, your personal favourite moments on the record, if you could think about that now, what would that be?
Go on, Tom, you take the lead with this one, Alan. I've got mine.
He's got to think.
I have a guilty, right?
I mean, the thing for me is, like, whether or not you're talking about in terms of our own playing, because, like, I wrote 90% of the record, the greatest satisfaction for me, and I guess it is still something that you can say is, like, your own thing, is writing these songs and, like, recording the demos at home and then hearing it all, like, come together, like a song come together with Sam, with Craig and with Zach on the tracks. It's like... It just breathes life into this idea that you had, and that for me is like the most pleasing thing. Also, the bass builds on Futures Lost are fucking amazing. So
I was going to say Futures Lost must be a high spot, because that's a great fucking song as well. I didn't see that coming. It took me by surprise. A couple listened to that, and I was like, that's like, you know, that's probably one of the highlights of the album. That, you know, Blood for Blood's a big highlight for me. I think that's going to surprise a lot of people. That's got some fucking great playing on that. What about you then, Sam? Come on.
like for me, it was all I'm gonna get right. I'm just gonna do this, and Tom will know exactly what I'm on about. Also, like, I think it was on the track Love for Blood. I think it was, right. Anyway.
It was
like we reversed something. We were just pissing around in the studio, yeah. You know, a few beers in, that kind of thing. And we were just like pissing around with some of the tracks. And I think we reversed some of the vocals on like the intro or something. Or we did, okay. So I can't remember what we did, but we reversed it anyway. And just before the fucking song started, all you heard was, we were just crying, mate.
Isn't it like 3 a.m. inside of this fucking chapel, like stupidly loud, ringing around the fucking place, and we're already drunk, like we were dying.
For a band that is like right on top of their kind of merch and their stuff and their video profiles and their social media, you needed to have recorded some of that. That should have been gold. That you should have took a camera with you. Oh, you did.
Oh, we did. The whole studio session is on all on our YouTube, dude. Like the whole fucking thing is fans. On there.
Do you know what though? I've only seen the professional side of that. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, well, you know what, lads? He's a fucking deep digger, though. Yeah, he's a fucking dig, lad. Go a bit further in there, lad. You know, it's on there, man. It's all on there, dude.
That's a bit. I'm gonna have to check someone out. I looked at subs. I couldn't see anybody fucking screaming. I couldn't see any of that. I didn't see any filthy mattresses.
There's literally a bit on that fucking video where I literally just go, and Tom just goes, you know what I mean? Literally, like, fucking, it's all on there, man. It's all on there.
I need to see it. Fucking hell. So
you sure that's quite? It's quite funny, you know.
The album due July the 14th. The pre-orders are up now. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, as I've said, I said this to Sammy a while back, but I'll say it to all the guys, is in terms of your merch game and how you're putting out what the record and the vinyl and the stuff you're doing is fucking next level stuff, guys. I talk to bands who are starting out and I say to use what you're doing as a template. You know, it's very clear you are thinking about what's next happening. So you're thinking about what the album should look like, thinking about what the different types of vinyls, all of that's being thought about. In fact, like I said to Zach on the last bit, you've even got a T-shirt out just for that one particular festival, which I thought was a fucking great move. You know, one, because
it's Scotland, man.
You know what I mean? It's like fucking ace, that, like. You know, just to show that respect to that festival, that's why you go from playing mid-card at that festival to headlining it, because that you're good to work with. That's a real secret of moving up a bill or getting more gigs, is just being good to work with. So we're going to have like a tour that's going to go with this album as well. What are we going to expect? Are we ever going to get it? Here's a question that probably will come up because a lot of bands are doing it. Are you ever going to play the album in its entirety?
Yeah, on tour.
You're gonna, so the album's going to be okay. Have you put that out there, or is that an exclusive?
Yeah. So the first show where we'll play the whole album in full and a few other things will be at Wildfire, the festival in Scotland, later this month. And then every headline show on the Guns for Hire tour, so the UK, Germany, and the other things that have been sorted, we'll play the full album at every headline show. Not necessarily in order. But okay. All of the songs will be there.
Right. Because I know that I recently you've been doing, you cheeky bastards, I said this to Craig, covering Painkiller. That's a fucking massive move. That is like, that's a fucking massive move. Yeah. I love it.
But it's like, Jesus, you know, Christ,
it's the other thing that came up with us whilst we were talking was the how you feel about the tag of the new wave of British heavy metal. That tag's been kind of danced around what you're doing. And I understand why. I get it. I understand why that's been there, because there are elements. There's elements of Judas Priest and what have you. But I think you are, and certainly some of the later tracks, you are shooting in slightly different direction past that. I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, I don't like tags at the best of times, but...
The thing for me with the new album thing, like, I get quite funny about it, because the new wave of British heavy metal was a movement, between like 77 and 83. So just by definition, we're not New Auburn. And also, it's not a genre as some people think. It was a whole movement of different British bands playing metal. But you look into that scene and it's like you have a band like Praying Mantis, who are kind of like AOR and almost sound like American radio sort of stuff at the time, like Journey and things. And you have a band like Venom, who are like the early extreme metal. So you can't say that anyone sounds like New Auburn, because it's like, well, do you mean Praying Mantis or Venom or Maiden or, you know, Demon? It's like there's a whole load of sounds. Obviously, we're influenced by the idealisms of that movement, and a lot of that was taken from like punk rock as well, with the DIY attitude and like stop fucking about and just go out there and definitely it's flattering for us to draw comparisons to that, but by definition we're not a New Auburn band.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think that it's intended as a flattering compliment to put you in with a lot of great bands. So they're just saying essentially that your band's great. But I think it's like, it's not something you attach your flag to. You just keep moving and kind of do what you do. It's nice in a passing thing, but I don't think it's a definition of what you guys are doing by any stretch of the imagination. So the next question I asked both parties, ladies and gentlemen, was which part of their album was the most enjoyable that they didn't play on? So which thing maybe one of Craig's vocal lines, it may be one of Zach's lead lines, it may be something like that. What was your favourite moment of the record that you don't play? Sam should go first. Don't be thinking about it, Sam.
That we didn't play. Okay, no, I would have to say the Warhead solo that Zach did. It was absolutely fantastic to watch and watch. Like, fucking hell, like, because I think it's just how it just dips in and out into, like, you know, it could have easily got into like mad shreddy all that kind of shit, you know. And but he just fucking didn't. He did it very tactfully, and it was just like watching him figure that shit out in front of him. And I was just like, now, like, I'm on a stage with this guy, you know what I mean? Like, this is fucking mental. And I'm just watching him, and he's figuring it out. And then, like, he starts recording, and he's just there, and he's just going, like, fucking, come on, you know what I mean? And it's just like, this guy's on fucking stage. Yeah, fucking right, man. That was awesome.
It's nice to see, isn't it? If you see someone who's playing an instrument that you don't play, it's wonderful to see their process going, okay, I'll piece this together, this is this. Okay, this is what it looks like. Okay, go, let's perform it and do it and record it. It's nice to see that, especially if it's an instrument you don't play, because it blows you away. It's like, wow, that's nothing like my method of doing things. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, but it's nice to see that. That's it, dude. And like seeing him do it like that as well was just like, this guy's going to fucking destroy heads like when he goes on stage, you know what I mean? God, but you know, it's just like,
great player.
Fucking right, lad. That's how fucking heavy metal should be, you know?
Yeah, I loved it. It seems like, and I may be putting words into your mouth here, gents, but it seems like each one of the band here is operating on the best that they can be. So you're watching him and go, fucking hell, I'm going to have to be fucking really on this, because Zach's just killing it. I'm pretty sure he thinks that about you as well. If anything, fucking hell, Sam's head's going off here. This is fucking boss. That's how his band should be. That's how band should be.
We hold each other very accountable in that sense. And it's... there's a quote, like, I'm not the biggest Kiss fan, but there's a quote from Paul Stanley that I always keep with me. It's fucking true. It's the truest thing about playing in a band is never forget that there is someone somewhere in the world that can do your job better than you. Don't let them take your job. Like, even for me, like, being, like, the songwriter and, you know, funding the band and stuff, there's a guy out there that can play bass and write better songs for this band than me, but he's not going to get the fucking job because I'm going to keep getting better. And it's like, it comes definitely, I don't think at first, before the first couple of tours, we were so much like this, but it's like now, since signing the deal and like the level of shows that we're getting and the expectation, and, you know, like we charge more for a ticket now than we did when we were an unsigned band, which is like justified. But at the same time, we have to fucking justify that to our fans. It's like, the biggest thing for me is, you keep in mind what the fan experience of loving heavy metal is, and you never fucking let anyone down. And it's like, at the end of the day, you can't push yourself, not to even your highest level, but to go beyond that. It's like, it's not the thing for you, you know? So we're very, like, we're very honest with each other. And we had a big conversation between the four of us, like, in January of this year, going into the year. It's like, right, we're in the second year now. And, like, all of the bullshit and all of the, like, the things that, as people, not just in a band, but that you don't want to confront with other people, because, like, some things are hard conversations and whatever. We said we're just gonna fucking have them. We're just gonna be totally open and honest with each other. And it's improved us as a band and our playing and everything so fucking much. And, like, I watch videos of, especially, I think, Call of the Wild the other week, and it's like, you don't notice it when you're doing a show or you're in rehearsals, but you watch something back and I'm like, fuck, we're better than we were last year, you know. It's paying off. So
I think that's what kind of, you know, the bands that do well and the bands that are successful do, is that they get on with the process of being in a band quickly. Most bands get mired in the who's doing what, you know, who's working harder than another person and all that bullshit. And some people care more than others, and some people are turning for practice and some people aren't, and all that other bullshit. And it's like 90% of the whole band experience, and it should be 10% of it. It should be a very tiny part of it, so you can get on with the process of learning to play yourself, learn to play as musicians, and then learning to exist as musicians on stage. Because, you know, we can all practice in a room, but on stage, you have to rely on the fact that there's no bullshit. You practice this stuff to the nth degree. You're all comfortable with each other and you can get the job done. You know, we've all seen those bands fall out on stage and miscommunicate and all that. We've all seen it. It happens. And that's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, that you're going to get from this album. And certainly when you catch them on tour as well, is the we're done with the bullshit now with anything else. I think these guys have been through, in various projects, have been through bullshit and dealt with shit people. That's not the case now. Now we're getting tail gunner to the nth degree. You know, we're not getting any messing around. This is exactly what you want. This album is exactly what you want to produce, exactly when you want to produce it. I was going to ask, like, so you signed with kind of like with Fireflash in October, and then what's that like dealing with kind of Marcus, the CEO? I mean, he used to be with Nuclear Blast. He's got such a fantastic reputation. That must have been a really, not that you needed to kick up the arse, but that must have been a really kind of, okay, where things are moving now.
I swear Marcus bought one of our EPs, actually, when we just brought them out, actually, if I remember correctly. That's what you told me, anyway, wasn't it, Tom?
Yeah, so Marcus, I mean, it shows how fucking good he is at his job. He's been on us from, like, virtually day one. It was with, when we released Guns for Hire, the debut single, that got put into the Atomic Fire, to the parent company Spotify playlist. And we were like, oh, fuck, like, that's cool. Because it was, like, their bands and, like, a few other new releases, but from bands like Ghost, Metallica, these bands, and us. And it was like, fucking hell. And then, like, later on, Marcus subscribed to, like, our mailing list, picked up merch and stuff. And it was at that point where we got in touch and, like, to see if we could make something work. And we've just been on the same page from day one, really. But working with him is amazing. It's like you say, he's got all that experience going back to, like, Nuclear Blast. And has worked with Helloween, Accept, Sabaton, all of these giant fucking bands in our style of music. His track record's amazing, and he's a brilliant guy to work with. So it's fucking very amazing. Very cool for us. It's a perfect deal, you know.
Yeah, it shows in how you kind of, ladies and gentlemen, I'll spill some tea here. When you're reviewing and you're in that game and you're in the interviewing business stuff, you get sent electronic press kits, EPKs and stuff, and you get contacted by people representing the band and what have you. And often you can balance how much that fucking label or whatever gives a fuck about that band, and also how much the band give a fuck about their own presentation. And sometimes these press kits are a bit shit, if I'm not too lie to you at all, ladies and gentlemen. Tail Guns is already at the level you get when you get from a fucking, like, major touring band. I was like, oh, shit, the level of quality is... And I can see Marcus's influence through that. Like, how are we going to present this? How are we going to look? How are we going to sound? Do we sound serious and competent professional? And 100% that comes across. So, you know, that goes a long way, that gents. It really does. You'll find that when the album starts to get reviewed. Have you had many reviews back yet?
Yeah, we had one just from a small place that was very, very good, actually. Said it was, like, the best debut by a British band, Dying Maiden, which...
That was
at the end of, like, the other week, which, like, not to go into shit, but as you know, was a very long and hard fucking week for us. And then getting that two back was, like... Man, it was fucking crazy. So that's very cool. The rest of the stuff will come out July and August around the album release with the magazines and shit. I think the first one in print in Emerging Rock Bands magazine this month, which would be cool. I look forward to reading that.
I think you're going to get some really great feedback. I think you'd be ready for it to be pretty special. And it's only when you say that, like that guy was wrote like the best British debut album. But I'm trying to think, you might be in good company there. I think you're on the shortlist for that. I think I'm going to have to have a look into debut albums by British metal bands. I think you're probably high up there. That's fucking excellent. I love it. So
I'll see it when I believe it, mate.
What's that?
I said I'll see it when I believe it, mate.
Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see it, you're going to be touring very soon. I'll put the dates up on the socials as well. I'm catching it at the Liverpool show, naturally. You know what I mean? That's going to be... Every time I've seen you guys, it's been fucking an absolute treat. I think this is going to be very special on this one. But realistically, what I want you to do, ladies and gentlemen, is check the album out. July 14th. I mean, what else to say? Guys, you must be... Like I said at the very beginning, you must just want people to hear this now. You just want people to look... Just listen to the album. Just tell us what you think, because I think it must be that point now where you just want to unleash it.
It's going to be a nice reaction. Oh, sorry. Go on. You first, Tom.
I said it's been a long time coming.
Fucking A.
It has indeed. Listen, it's going to be nice.
We'll get you on the show again. I'll probably do some kind of interviews and stuff when we're at the show. I'm so looking forward to the people hearing this album and telling me that I was right, that you are going to be the next big thing. And I'm so looking forward to seeing you guys live. But for now, ladies and gentlemen, how nice it's been to talk to Tom and Sam. Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming on the show.
Cheers, mate.
It's been all right.
Just great there to talk to the guys in Tailgun. What a great bunch of lads, like, you know, doing some fucking great music. And it's just, you know, it's hard not to really kind of, like, you know, cheer for them and see how their journey's going to end up. Their new album, Guns for Hire, out this week, July 14th, and then they're out on tour in October. They've been playing some great shows. Yesterday they played in KK's Steel Mill with KK's Priest, which is just fucking... mind-blowing to me, being a Priest fan that I am. And they're just seemingly just lining up endless great shows and doing really, really well. And it's just something that's amazing to see. A band putting in the efforts, putting in the time, playing great music and getting out there. They're going to be very successful. This album is fucking brilliant. And as you could hear on the conversations we were having there, you know, just a nice bunch of guys. I'm going to have to get Sammy on again. He's a treat. And I promise I'll get him on again, ladies and gentlemen. But I hope you enjoyed that. If you are in a band and you've got an album coming up or something coming up, it'd be nice. Hey, listen, we'll do a track by track, or we'll do a special like we did with Tailgunner there. You know, do something a bit interesting. We can do that. DMs are always open. Please, you know, get in touch. For now, though, thanks for listening. We'll see you at the show.